Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my two guests, Sister Mary Elizabeth and Sister Gabriel John, from the Carmelite Sisters of the Divine Heart of Jesus, who are also from Mount Carmel Assisted Living. How are you, sisters?
Oh, fine, thank you.
Very good today.
Glad to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have sisters here in the room, and I'm sure it's a pleasure for our listeners to hear you as well. Let's go ahead and get started. We'll start with Sister Mary Elizabeth and then move on to Sister Gabriel John. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
I'm one of two children. I have an older sister, and I was born in Riverside, California, and when I was 2 years old, my parents decided to move back to Canada. My mom and dad are Canadian, and I spent almost the rest of my growing up years there until I entered the convent, except for about 2.5 years when we had to move back to California. And I would say that my call to religious life kind of was a gradual process throughout my growing up years. My mother had always a great devotion to the saints, especially the little flower, St. Therese, and would tell me many things about her during the years when I was growing up. And so that kind of instilled in me a devotion to her and an attraction towards religious life. But I, at one point when I was about 11, we fell away from the practice of our faith. But then when we came back a few years later, and I started to develop a really strong interior life, praying and spending a lot of time going to adoration and going to Mass more frequently. And I got closer to our Lord. Then that's when the call really started to develop, and I realized, you know, that the Lord was inviting me to give my life to Him, and there could be nothing more beautiful that I could do it with my life. And so that's how it developed, and I entered Carmelite Sisters when I was 19 years old, and I've never regretted it. I've always been very happy.
The rest is history. Never looked back.
Yes.
But you did have that tonguing as you were young.
I think it was always attraction whenever I would like have an opportunity to watch a movie, let's say, like, for instance, The Life of St. Bernadette, Song of Bernadette, or any other movie that would have something about sisters in it. It was always very attractive to me, the idea of that there could be women that would, you know, just live for God in that way was very beautiful. And one of the schools, in fact, where I went to school at when I was in California, was run by sisters, and just that their witness
of
their
life. Were they fascinating?
They were fascinating. They were very fascinating. And I think that was how the Lord, little by little, plants the seeds in your life as you're growing up. And eventually it comes to full maturity as you reach the point where he's really calling you now to take that step.
Mm-hmm. Well, wonderful. Thank you for sharing. And how about yourself, Sister Gabriel John?
Yeah, but the opposite is I entered at 19. I was late vocation. Entered past 35.
Okay.
So it started when I was 9 years old. I'm fascinated to see nuns, you know. And then while my friends are collecting Elvis Presley and stuff like that, I'm collecting holy cards and pictures of nuns.
So you didn't collect Barbies, sister?
No, because in those days, Barbie's not yet born.
Oh, okay. But there were saints' pictures, holy cards.
Yeah, and but they have like holy cards and pictures of nuns. Cut it out, you know. And then when I told my mother I want to be a nun, my mother said, no, you got to go to school, you know. But then after high school, I said, they only get high school, I can go now, you know. But then my father, I'm daddy's girl, but my father get mad at me. He said, we are poor. I don't want anybody of my daughters begging. Because in the Philippines in those days, the nuns are in outside the church, sometimes they beg, you know.
Oh, okay.
But it's very different now. But it's different then because it's a poor country, you know. Mm-hmm. Then I was scared. I did not mention that anymore. Then I go to school, I went to college, but of course after college you've got other dreams. I migrated in the United States, and then to cut the story short, I got a good job And I do whatever I like. Like, for instance, I sing in the folk group. I'm not having a good voice, but I like to sing, so I sing in the folk group, and I volunteer in St. Vincent de Paul, things like that. So I was enjoying my life, and then the coming to the convent, it always pop up. And then I said, no, dear Lord, I just got here. I'm joining, you know. You just stayed away, you know. And then afterwards, until one time, it happens that December 31st, you know, New Year's Eve, I was with my friends. And then my friend told me, you do not go home because there are lots of drunk drivers, you know, because New Year's Eve. So stay here and go to the kids' room. So when I slept there, I was with the kids' room. Then I always pray, thank the Lord for, I am safe, I have good friends and this and that. And then I heard something, I think it's from within, I do not know, it's from nowhere, you know. And it said, yeah, you do whatever you want to do in your life, but the one that you really like, you never did. And I know it's the convent, because that's the only thing I did not try. And I said, I was crazy. I said, yes, Lord, I'm going. And then that is the hardest part, because I said, well, if I go to the convent, and I could not send already what I want to send to my family, because it will be different. But then, and then I will give up my job. And then, how about if I don't make it?
Then, so then all the fears started. Yeah.
It's all the fears because of the unknown, you know. You don't know what will happen. So I said, but I got to try. I promised the Lord, I'm going to try. So I got to try. And then, and the thing is that I do not know where to go. So I have this Catholic Digest. I just said, I'm going to just look at the advertisement. So I found the Carmelite Sisters of the Divine Heart of Jesus. And I saw their habit. Oh, you know, I was attracted.
You fell in love with it. Okay.
But not only that. And then I saw the apostolate for the elderly and the children. And then contemplative prayers and this and this and that.
So you saw what they would do as sisters.
Yeah, I saw what I do. And then, but the next thing is that, well, it's near. I did not even know that they existed there before. If I don't make it, I say to myself, at least I am in the area where my friends are, you know, because I'm by myself in the country.
You were worried about not making it.
because that's what my friend said when I decided to I said, oh, I'm gonna do the Carmelite Sisters, and then they were upset. I said, what? I said, after one congregation, you stop. You got to go from other congregation to other congregation, so you know where do you want.
I see.
You know, you're in business. They said to me, so you better go to the same Daughters of St. Paul, that's what they said to me, because they are in business, they're in communication, in marketing. I said, no, I don't want to do that. I want to be a nun. I just say like that, you know. So that's what happened. But then when I started coming there and I started, yes, you know, the fear disappeared. The fear disappeared. And there was a strange thing also that happened there. When I was interviewed there, the in La Mesa, in our convent in La Mesa, they have these chimes, and it has music every hour. And then when I was talking to the novice mistress, she was paged, and then I was left alone in that priest room. That's a priest dining room.
Okay.
And then the music was, be not afraid.
Oh, yes. That's how God works, huh?
I thought for me.
Yeah, so, there was your answer.
So, that was your answer. And then I was just goosebumps. And then so I said, okay, this is it, you know. So that's how I decided to enter, you know. So.
Well, I really enjoy having our listeners learn more about vocations and listening to how you all came to your vocation. So I'm really pleased that you shared your story. So let's go ahead and take the next minute or so to talk about your order. So we're talking about particularly the Carmelite Sisters of the Divine Heart of Jesus, or the Carmelites for short. Tell me a little bit about your order.
Our congregation originated in Germany. In 1891, our mother foundress, who was beatified by Blessed Pope John Paul, our previous Holy Father, Benedict XVI, in 2006, Blessed Maria Teresa of St. Joseph. She was not born and raised in a Catholic family. She was a convert from Lutheranism. Her father was a Lutheran minister, her grandfather for some generations. And she had felt since her early 20s that God was really that she really wanted to dedicate her life to him in a very special way and to help the poor and the suffering. Her mother had always instilled in her a great love for the poor, had taken her with her when she had gone to bring food and clothing and items to the poor. And her father, even though he was a Protestant minister, and he was very staunch in his ministry, because there was some liberal streams among even the Protestant churches. But he was very staunch, and he was persecuted very much for that. So she was raised with a great zeal for truth in that. And as she sought it in her life, she had an opportunity to take a job where she was exposed to Catholic teaching. She accepted a position at a mental institution, and most of the patients there were Catholic. And so that's where she was exposed to it. And so she joined the church when she was 33. And more and more after that, as she got closer to our Lord, the desire grew within her. She realized that God was calling her to some great work, to become a sister and to help others.
Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break on Labors of Love. When we come back, we're going to learn more about the history of the Carmelites.
This is Labors of Love.
Question: is the religious life right for you? It may well be the most difficult decision you'll ever have to make, and should never be made without consultation with those who are in the vocation of ordained, religious, or consecrated life. Dedicated priests, sisters, and other religious are needed in today's church, but these vocations are not for everyone. So, why not spend a weekend in discernment with those who can help you decide what is right for you? June 20th through 23rd, the Office of Vocations will hold a Vocations Awareness Retreat locally. The registration deadline is May 23rd, so the time to respond is now. There's no pressure or commitment, just time with God and time to ask questions and discover the answers. This is Sister Anna Marie Espinosa. Call the Vocations Office at 361-882-6191. Uncertainty is confusing. Discernment helps clear the air.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guests, Sister Mary Elizabeth and Sister Gabriel John. And before the break, we were talking about the history of the Carmelite Sisters of the Divine Heart of Jesus. Can you continue with your story, Sister Mary Elizabeth, on Blessed Maria Teresa of St. Joseph?
As I was saying, our mother foundress joined the church when she was 33 years old. And as time went on, she grew in her spiritual life through a lot of time in especially nightly Eucharistic adoration, and through going to Mass a lot, and through spending a lot of time in prayer. And she had an opportunity to make a retreat. And during that retreat, she was exposed to the life of St. Teresa of Avila. And when she read that book, she knew that that was her spiritual ideal to follow in her footsteps. But when she brought that idea to her confessor, he told her, God is not calling you to cloistered life, but you will be a Carmelite. So she kept praying and kept trying to find out what God's will was for her. And an opportunity came available where she could start a home for children. She had seen the great need in the city where she was living, which was Berlin. So many poor children on the street. She would see advertisements for, you know, children. And she really felt God calling her to do that, which went back to a dream she had as a child, where she saw herself, you know, saw all these children with our Lord. And so she began the work, and little by little, as more women came, she was able to, through many vicissitudes, to be able to establish the community, to have her community aggregated to the Carmelite Order. And her great desire was to have her sisters be servants of the Divine Heart of Jesus. She had very deeply experienced the love of Jesus in her own life, in bringing her into the church, and in her times of, especially before the Eucharistic Lord, in adoration. And she wanted her sisters to be consecrated totally to him, to spread devotion to him and to offer atonement for those who offend him and those who don't believe in him, and to bring as many hearts as possible to the heart of Jesus through caring for children, to provide a home for the homeless, as she said. She started with homes for children, and then to also provide a place for the elderly in their later years to be able to have a quiet, peaceful place so they could prepare themselves, you know, for when they would have to meet the Lord. And so she went all around the world establishing as many homes as she could with this great zeal to want to bring as many people as she could to knowledge and love of Lord.
And so she wanted to help the most vulnerable. And let's go ahead and talk now about the Mount Carmel Assisted Living, which you all own and operate and you're heavily invested in. Sister Gabriel John, can you tell me a little bit more about the Mount Carmel Assisted Living?
Yeah, we are at Alameda Street, 4130, and right now we are accepting applicants, you know. What we do is that we take care of the elderly with their needs, like, and then we have nurses. We have we could give them 3 meals a day, and then we give them bath if they need to, and we dispense medicines. Okay. And also they don't need to sweep or to clean their homes because we have all the housekeepers, so they could relax there comfortably. But the main thing that is, I think, is deep, because the other homes does that too. But the main thing I think that we differ is because the sisters are there. You know, that little things that you do for them. Like, for instance, what I do with, when they are in the dining room, I roam around and pat their back. How are you? Are the food good? You know, we are always in the presence. And then sister has the activities, you know, so we are always connected with the people, so they are not left alone just by the staff or what. But our staff, I must say to you that our staff are there for a long time. Some are there for 30 years.
Wow. So they're dedicated to
the home. You know, mm-hmm. They are dedicated because, you know, because when you give love, it gets back to you, you know. Mm-hmm. So just little things like that. For example, I do the stockings for the elderly. You know, you just don't put the stocking, then you rub the legs like that.
Oh,
you
okay.
Know? You know, just little things.
So
because
you're really
you
gentle.
You are not in a hurry for things. Mm-hmm. You know, you do it like, because you do it that as if they are your mother or your father. You know, that's what we want to emphasize. You know, and you know, little things, even smile mm-hmm. to them when they are down. Tap them on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. And then the big thing is that we have the chapel.
Okay.
We have chapel.
So then the residents are able to mm-hmm. attend chapel or go to the chapel.
We have mass every day. Even the outsiders come for mass every day. So we have the chapel. They have their own devotion there. They pray the rosary even by themselves. And then they have the holy hour there every Saturday. So, and then if they want quiet moments, they just go there, you know. So, and then also... with the food, they have pretty good food.
Do you all have cooks, or is it?
No, we have cooks.
Okay.
We cook the food, and then we have also the meal snack time, morning and afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then people are, 60 and above, a certain age and above?
I think
I'm curious. 55, it depends.
55 we get. But as long as they could walk.
Okay.
But so, they could walk with the walkers.
Mm-hmm. So these are for, this home is for people that, let's say, the family can't take care of anymore, and they have some needs that you all take
needs,
care of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have some needs. Like, for instance, you know, if you are by yourself, you need medication. If you are by yourself, you don't know if you're taking it right.
Okay.
So our nurse will dispense the medicines, something like that. Okay. And then of course, we are there 24 hours. You know, they have this button. They press, then they call us. Then we're there right away. And then also, it's nice to have the people interact with other people. Mm-hmm. Because if you are by yourself, because sometimes they said, well, they have home health coming at home. But it's different. Mm-hmm. It's different. You need to have
community. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Community, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that's another plus for going to the assisted living. But they are afraid sometimes because they think assisted living is a nursing home. No, there's a big difference.
What's the difference?
The difference that they are mobile, you know. They could still go out. They could go out to the party still. We have one, he's 90 years old, yeah. Aline Johnson. You know,
yes.
I mean, you know. Oh, she goes out most of the night. She cannot dance anymore, but where did she go with the music, you know? Mm-hmm. They could go, you know.
Okay, and then we so have they drivers. Can leave and
yeah,
come
they could
back
leave and come and back. And, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we have drivers if they don't have access for transportation. We have drivers just, you know, fill up where you're going to go. We take them for their doctor's appointment, mm-hmm. for recreation. One time we went to, where did we go?
We went to the beach in Port Aransas. Sometimes we'll go for lunch outings or little joy rides. We try to think of events. We went to a Hooks baseball game not too long ago.
So, Sister Mary Elizabeth, you're the activities coordinator?
Yes.
What are some of the things you do with the people that are, do you call them residents, clients?
They're residents.
Okay.
They're very much just like family. They're like your grandparents, but at the same time, they're almost like your children because we're so, when you're religious, I mean, everyone becomes your children because you have this special call and ministry, you know, to help everybody, you know, within your radius of influence, you know.
Well, you become very nurturing, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I find it very rewarding. I love working with the elderly to just be able to smile and put a smile on their face. I do a lot of activities with them. I'm running all day long doing different things, exercise activities, you know, to get them mobile. We try to do music. We'll do sing-alongs. They love that. They love music.
We have nail polish, too.
Yes, we do nail care for them once a week. I enjoy doing that, and they love that.
Yeah.
We have a couple singers that come in once a week, mm-hmm. and a birthday party, which I organize every month, and I try to bring in somebody special for that.
Okay.
We do bingo. They love bingo. We do bingo a few times a week, trivia games, whatever type of activities I can think of, arts and crafts. I always try to ask them for ideas, you know, and quite a few of them come for the activities, especially when we have music.
Okay, so let me ask you, these residents, they stay full-time?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So this is their home?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
Yes, so we try to make it as much as a home for them as possible, you know. Try to, like, if you see that they're down, you go up to them and talk to them and spend time with them and try to see to all their needs as much as, you know, as possible as we can fulfill and stay in a lot of communication with their families to see what we can do, you know, to help them in a particular situation that they might be having. And
okay. So if someone would like to receive more information or would like to inquire because they do have someone that needs assisted living, where would you send them? What's your phone number, sister?
855-2643. That's at Mount Carmel Home. That's our main number. And you can ask for Sister Gabriel John, who takes care of admissions. And she'd be happy to answer your questions, give you a tour, and give you information about what it is like to the process for you know, coming to Mount Carmel Home and anything else you'd like to know. We're more than happy to do that.
Well, thank you so much for being with us on Labors of Love. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Many people who have been through an earthquake will tell you that it is the most unsettling thing they have ever endured. Imagine you're going about your daily life, working at your desk, preparing dinner, changing a diaper, or discussing family matters with one another. Suddenly the floor begins to heave up and down, drawers open and close by themselves, a window breaks, and pictures fall off the wall. This goes on for about a minute, and when it's over, you realize that you were sick to your stomach. Later, when you hear it was only a 4.5 on the Richter scale, you thank God that it was not more. Certain events in our lives have the capacity to leave us dazed and confused. An earthquake or other natural event, such as a hurricane or wildfire, may leave us unsure about life and questioning what we place importance on. Infidelity in marriage, the announcement that your spouse wants a divorce, or the serious illness of a child can turn our world upside down. The sudden death of a loved one may leave us angry at God, doubting His goodness. We even dare to ask how He could allow such a thing to happen. Any one of these events can disrupt and destroy the lives of even the strongest people we know, and that might mean us. When God tested Elijah, he told Elijah to leave the cave in which he was hiding. Elijah was hiding because he feared for his life. But when God told him to go stand on the mountain, he did so. We all know the story. There was a strong and violent wind, something like a hurricane, but God was not in the wind. There was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. Then a fire, and again God was not in the fire. It was in a tiny whispering sound, a sound most like silence, that Elijah encountered God. As we consider the many storms through which we pass in this life, we should also remember the calm after the storm. This calm comes from God. If you have any doubt of it, call to mind Jesus calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee. He wills the calm for our good, for us to reflect upon life and its meaning. The reality is that life will never return to the same way it was before the storm came. Something has changed. God allows the storms of our lives in order to get our attention, to get us to slow down and listen for Him in the tiny whispering sound, in the sounds of silence. Normalcy will return. It will just be a different normal, because we have been changed. The important thing for us to remember at these times is that God never abandons us, even while the storm is raging. He always remains faithful, waiting for us to turn back to Him, to seek His help. We often discover this truth when we hit the lowest point of hurt after the storm has overwhelmed us. He calls us to discover once again His mercy and forgiveness. He calls us to Himself in order to heal us and free us from whatever enslaves us and holds us back from authentic love. He longs for us to place our trust in Him and never be rocked by the storms of life. It is in His friendship that we find the strength for today. May you discover your sacred moments in times of turmoil, and may they always bring you the peace of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guests, Sister Mary Elizabeth and Sister Gabriel John from the Carmelite Sisters of the Divine Heart of Jesus. If you would like more information about the Mount Carmel Assisted Living Home, please call 361-855-2643. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.